Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And we're fucking awesome. And of course, Tommy said, oh, there, what's up, dude?
Just trying not to die.
I feel so bad. Like, I'm going to have to be low-key this show so you don't die.
Getting over a little bit of some junk, which gets most activated, the coughing, which you will obviously hear. When I laugh, stuff to look forward to there. I will try to move away from the mic as I laugh and then croak. So
any of you that have been listening to the show for any length of time at all, you can sit by your clock by the fact that you and I are going to get this thing that you have once a year, and most of the time it's at the same time. I don't have it right now, which means when you get over it, I'm going to get it, and we get to do this all over again.
Right, yes.
It happens every freaking year. I don't know what it's about, but to this point, it's like we don't even... I know I've been talking to people about it. I knew that it was coming because you have it.
Yeah.
And there's, oh, you should do this or you should do that. No, there's nothing to do. It's going to happen. There's no way around it. You just got to suck it up and take it. So,
yep. 100%. And I have a 3-year-old on top of that that just brings every freaking bug home that happens. So we are a week behind for the first time in quite a while, which is a bummer. But we're here. Last week, Genevieve was getting over the stuff, and then she gave it to me. We were planning on trying to do something this weekend, and I lost my voice. And so here we are. We made it.
Well, here's what is most awesome about being a week behind. Not only does that mean that we had more time to play games.
Yes.
But it means that you're probably getting in more content from us because we owe Feels an ad spot. Yeah. So there's probably going to be an extra show or extra content or something in here in the next week or so. Yeah. So be excited about that. I am extraordinarily pumped today because I haven't played games in like a week and a half, but I'm not mad about it because we have one of the most awesome games that we're going to spend about 40 minutes talking about, and I'm so excited because I am pleasantly surprised by what you have been playing.
Yes, me too. We will have a chunk of that and at least a couple other things that I've fired up just momentarily, but are worth of talking about. And we've got a ton of show notes, so go by GamingUncensored.com because we're not going to get through them all, but including more Activision Blizzard stuff with Bobby Kotick now and all kinds of ish going on there. Lots of GTA news because we'll talk about that. That'll come up in the gameplay portion because we need to hit that.
Yep.
And then a handful of other things we'll get to them, including Game Award nominees. We need to touch on that too, because those are pretty fascinating. It's an interesting year in gaming. And so lots of news before we jump into anything, though. Big thanks to the Patreon guys, of course. As always, we appreciate your support a ton. Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your continued support. It is awesome. We get to buy games and play games because of it. And so you will hear about that momentarily because we are playing one of those games right now. If you would like to support us on Patreon as well, go to mygamingUncensored.com and click the Become a Patron link right there at the top of the page.
We played Metroid the last 2 weeks. We're playing Guardians of the Galaxy this week. That's all because of you Patreon guys. Yeah. We don't state that enough. We are playing current games for the first time in the history of this show on time and on target because we have money to spend on those games, and I gotta tell you, it is freaking awesome. This is not normally what I do on a Wednesday, but we just got really lucky that I don't have church service tonight. And I actually thought I was gonna get more work done today, but I fire up the YouTube, and you got no less than like 2 hours of Guardians of the Galaxy on the YouTube, which I checked last night. So I say again, like I said last week, Tommy's playing games like he's 12. He don't have a girlfriend and he don't have nothing else to do. I love it. It's fantastic. I want to keep this going. So to you Patreon people, thank you. I love you. You are rocking my world. Yes.
Two very nostalgic games, and we'll jump into it with Guardians of the Galaxy. So Metroid, obviously nostalgic for pure nostalgia's sake. That is, a game that we played in our youths. And so a modern version that is very, very reminiscent of that original, those games that we played when we were young was very nostalgic. Guardians of the Galaxy isn't nostalgic because of that. It's nostalgic because it has our childhood. Like it's the little like mullet wearing Star-Lord when he's 13, like on his 13th birthday. It's just phenomenal. I just love it. And it reminds me so much of when we were growing up.
Okay, so can I say this? Okay, we have not had this discussion, so it's going to be very interesting. I love the entire setup of Guardians of the Galaxy because the kids got a room in the basement, and I'm going to be real honest with you. You've told me how you grew up. You've told me about your life, and that bedroom, that house in general, is how I envision 13-year-old Tommy living.
It's pretty close.
That's what I've always seen in my head.
Yep.
And there it is.
Yep.
In full 3D.
Yeah. The house is very, like, just some of the little details. And this is even about the bulk of the game. Like, this is just a little flashback section. But I just love it so much. The details that they put into that house. From the old school, like everybody in the 80s had that alarm clock, right? Sitting beside the bed, like the black one with the wood grain and all that. Like, everybody did. Like, it was ubiquitous during that time. Like, just, I was like, oh my goodness, y'all killed it. Two, like, another just super random detail that I was like, yep, that's 100% accurate. Was the wood floors at the bottom of the steps going upstairs are all scuffed up. Like, they're not pretty wood floors. They're, like, lived-on wood floors. That's, like, it just... I was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's just such a ridiculous detail to go, I remember when I was a kid, this is what wood floors looked like, you know, and any house I was in that ever had wood floors because we were poor. And so it wasn't that we had wood floors because they were cool, which is why, like, I have wood floors in this room I'm in right now. But it was we have wood floors because we didn't have money to put carpet back in or whatever. And so they're all scuffed up and dinged up in that stuff. I was like, yeah, that is, like, spot on. Just what crazy attention to detail to get something like that, that I was like, yep, 100% relate with that. That's it.
Can I tell you, and every time that we fire this up and we start playing, I see new little things. 2600 in the floor, which is fabulous. Last Starfighter posters on the wall, yes. Tron posters on the wall, yes. And it's not like the lake Tron posters. This is very clearly a Tron poster. Like, it says Tron on it.
Yep.
Right? Like they nailed it.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk a ton about this, but the Walkman. That's always a Guardians of the Galaxy thing. And I got to preface this whole thing by saying I'm not a massive fan of the movies. Like, they're funny. They're good. I enjoy them. But I'm not like, you know, I'd rather see Spider-Man or the Hulk or something else. Like, this is not my favorite franchise. But this is absolutely stellar.
Yeah, it's the level of polish that's put on, like, just, it's so well executed. So we talked about the nostalgia part of it. That part's great, but the actual
one more thing, and I gotta bring this up with you because I know I'm gonna get nods from you on this. The music in this thing, I am so thankful for the Sony music catalog, which they are very clearly using. And I meant to look up the developer for this game because I can't remember who it is.
It's Square Enix.
But the music that is in this game, like, for crying out loud, you went down to the dinner table and there's Tears for Fears going on in the background. Like, I'm freaking out. And then you walk around the house and it goes from Tears for Fears to Wham.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I'm freaking out as a kid that grew up in the 80s, because it's not like weird musical knockoffs. It's not like they fudged it. It's the actual tracks.
Yeah.
And that's fabulous.
It is fantastic. Word of warning, one of my videos that I'm streaming got copyright claimed on it because of that, though. I am not turning off the music for that purpose.
No.
It's like, you can't monetize this and it won't show in certain places. It's not a big copyright claim. It's not a strike or anything like that. If we start getting strikes on it, I'm just going to private send you those videos because I'm not turning off the music. Music is amazing. So
the music is unbelievable. And the way that they did it, before we get into the gameplay, because we got to talk about the gameplay, I'm going to say something. I'm going to do the wild Jamie Jordan overstatement thing. But this is an MCU-level product in a video game. Like, I feel like I'm watching a movie that's better than the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's fantastic.
Let's talk about that element of it for just a little bit, because you're not wrong, and it'll get into one of my complaints about it here in a second as well. But the execution cinematically is really phenomenal, in part, and this is, we texted back and forth about this a little bit. The dialogue is just constant. It's the most just not like interactive dialogue. You get little moments here and there, which I kind of like. And I totally missed one because you just get caught up in it and not even paying attention to, oh, I need to press a button right now. But it's just constant banter between the four of them. And that's like exactly what Guardians of the Galaxy needs to be, because the whole charm of Guardians of the Galaxy is there's these four misfit five, I guess, really. I am Groot in there quite often. But there's this group of five misfits, you know, that are like Guardians of the Galaxy, trying to do a thing, trying to be better, but also trying to be whatever. And it is all built around them and their kind of relationships between just each other. And so the fact that the dialogue is just constantly going.
Like, that you seriously, can, they end, I keep expecting it to stop.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, we got to get to the next point before it kicks off again. But it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And it's the but let me just say, not only, like, I wouldn't be raving like this if it was just dialogue, but you could write a lot of, you could write 10, 12, 15 hours worth of crap and stuff that I didn't care about. And every game that we've seen in the last 10, 15 years has tried to do this. But the thing is that this dialogue, all of it is extraordinarily good. And I'm just going to take one line out of it that totally almost went over my head. Like, you're trekking through a bog on a planet. And what's his face? The raccoon says, it smells awful here. And Quill says, if we're going to smell like butt, at least we can smell like butt together. And like, it's not like a cutscene.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's just there. And it's so good.
Yeah. It is constant, like, one-liners, again, going back to you talked about the MCU Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it's that level of writing. Like, it's really solid writing, but it's just constant in through the gameplay. And just like, again, not during a cutscene, not in big moments, just like walking through the world. Like, there's just this constant banter that is super well written. Again, there's so many of those little clever moments. I'm like, oh my goodness, that was a great joke. Like, not is that just a fun moment in a video game, but that is like legit a solid joke. Like, just a funny moment that would be funny in a comic book, in a movie, and whatever. Like, just great writing.
Drax is like, I will smell like butt too, Peter Quill. And it's so good.
Drax was already my favorite character from Guardians of the Galaxy, but this execution of Drax is just so good. He's so funny. It's just amazing.
And see, that's the thing. It's not only is the writing good, the voice acting's good.
Yes.
The voice acting is spot on. These are not the MCU actors, but I don't care.
No.
The only thing that I have issues with character-wise, and this makes me laugh because he's the most boring character of the entire crew. I hate the Peter Quill character model. I hate it.
Do you really?
Because that's not him. Like, I hate it. I don't like it. It is the most boring vanilla character model. Like, it works. It's okay. I'm overstating it. It's not awful. But they could have done better with that. Other than that, I got no issues at all.
Yeah. The voice acting, just to go back to that for just a second, is just spot on. Like, they really, really do a great job with it. And it's like, I just pulled it up on IMDb. I did the other day too. I don't know who any of these people are. You know, like, it's all just pro voice actors, people that have been working on video games and animated stuff and that kind of stuff for years and years. Like, the guy that does Drax has done just a ton of voice work, you know? And it's like, cool. Like, that's perfect. You know, like, he's obviously very good at it. You did a very good job of picking a person that is going to be able to execute this well. And that's just across the board. Like, they're just all really well done.
Now, the interesting thing about this before we get to the gameplay is, I said to you, and I absolutely mean it, every time I fire up a video to watch 40 minutes or an hour or whatever of this that you put up, I am waiting for all of the things that we just discussed to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
I got that little voice in my head going, they cannot keep this up for 10 hours, 12, 15 hours. There's no way. Like, if they do, this isn't the discussion for Game of the Year. But that little voice in my head going, there's no way. And so I'm waiting for it to totally fall off the cliff and it be one of those deals where the first half is the most stellar thing ever. And then the last half, it just goes to crap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Me too. And I'm kind of preparing myself for that because so far the narrative side of it's great. Now, let's talk about the gameplay side of it. We talked about Metroid a ton and how Metroid is a game about gameplay and that the narrative and story is kind of there and whatever, but we don't care. It's all about gameplay. This is the exact opposite to me. This is all narrative. Everything that we've just talked about that's amazing about it is amazing about it. Gameplay is an afterthought in this game. It's not awful, but most of the gameplay is a walking simulator so far, with some combat encounters, a boss fight that was really enjoyable. Like, that was fun.
I was going to ask because I just saw the boss fight. I really enjoyed the boss fight.
Yes.
I thought it was super cinematic. I personally, and this is just me, because again, I'm not holding the controller. So I'm going to shut up and let you talk for 5 minutes. But watching that boss fight and watching the ability to use the characters in the environment, to me, that's really cool. I can see where it would get really repetitive. And I think part of the reason that it feels repetitive is something that they did, which they should have stolen from the Final Fantasy VII Remake, is that you're running Peter Quill the entire time, and I'm going to be real honest and say it again, he is the most boring character yes. combat-wise of everybody else. It's like if you're playing Knights of the Old Republic and you try to play Han Solo, yeah. Nobody wants to play Han Solo because it's just a dude with some blasters.
Yeah.
Like, Peter Quill is the most boring character to play in anything, and I think it would be that way in combat. I think if you could switch between the characters, I don't think we would have that argument.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, you know, this kind of squad-based combat thing where you can give orders, but it's very, very limited. Like, they just have special abilities and they have cooldown right. times. And so the rest of the time they're just running around doing whatever. And you're running around because they're kind of frantic fights. It's not super strategic, but it's not, you don't have a lot of abilities, especially early on. Maybe that grows obviously as you, level, which there is a leveling system, you unlock new abilities or whatever. And so that'll become a more interesting part of it, you would think. But from the beginning of the game, it's just kind of run and gun and give orders here and there. That does at times have a puzzle element. That's the other kind of part of the gameplay, is that there are puzzle components to it, which I really enjoy. And so just having to figure out how to navigate or to open up doors or whatever with the different character kind of abilities. And so like Drax is super strong, so he can pick up stuff. Rocket can crawl into small places and like hack stuff or whatever it is. And so you have each of the characters with their own kind of things that they bring, of which Peter brings nothing, really. Like,
yeah.
In some ways, it's the brilliance of getting to play as Peter Quill, because you kind of just get to appreciate, like, all these other characters that are interesting without having to worry about your own character being interesting, because he's just not all that interesting, which is kind of, again, I mean, like, not as a flaw, like, that's kind of who Peter Quill is, you know, like, other than being Han Solo, in that he's, like, trying to be cool and has one-liners and that kind of stuff, like, yeah, the rest of it, you kind of is just bumbling through.
Like, for example, if I were to buy this on PC, I couldn't play it because the way that his character is set up, you're having to constantly move and be twitchy because he has no real ability whatsoever. The blasters suck. Yeah, he's got the jet boost, but you can't really use those in combat. Not really. You did with the boss.
Yeah.
Right there at the end. I thought that was pretty cool. But it's just, he's just a guy with two blasters in his hands. And if you're not moving like Steph Curry moving around the basketball court, he's going to die. Like, you can't stop moving because he will die.
Yeah, that said, I haven't really died other than falling off cliffs, of cliffs. It's not a hard game. It's not supposed to be. Like, it's a narrative game. If you're not interested in a game that you're going to listen to a ton of dialogue and get into the story, you don't want to play Guardians of the Galaxy because it's not that rewarding of a gameplay experience. But it's super fun because it's such a well-executed narrative. And that's, you know, games are different, and that's cool. Like, we just played Metroid. That's just the exact opposite and adored it. This we're having a good time with, too, and it's the opposite. Ratchet and Clank is kind of somewhere in between, right? It balances those worlds a little bit better, maybe a little more towards the gameplay side than the narrative side, but just in the same kind of outer space world, like, those feel similar to me. But it's not a gameplay game. If you're just into gameplay games, keep moving. If you're into comic books and a well-executed comic book story that isn't MCU, it very clearly isn't MCU, I couldn't recommend it more. I think it's great.
It's really good. Like I said, I don't know that it's going to hold up. But man, if it does for the whole game, like, it's going to be in the top 4 for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And it amazes me that we played Metroid, which is in the discussion for Game of the Year. Now we're playing this. Like, we're having a really good year in gaming just as a show because we're playing this stuff back to back.
I
spent two and a half hours this afternoon when I really needed to be doing something else watching you play Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm ecstatic because I don't feel like, and this is the question that I was going to ask you, I don't feel like even thus far, at least, that any of my time has been wasted.
Yeah.
Every time that you put more Guardians of the Galaxy up, like, I'm going for it, like, ooh, I want to see what happens next, because it's not boring. It's like you said, it's like reading a really good comic book.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so well delivered. Maybe a better word than executed. It just is tight. It's interesting. It's funny. It's well written. Like, they just killed that part of it at the sake of making the gameplay super interesting. Like, that's obvious. They put their time and effort into capturing a billion lines of dialogue, and good on them. It was the right decision. But it is at the sacrifice of gameplay.
Can we say one more thing about the whole thing? The way they did the flashbacks, which we opened this discussion with, is absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stellar, and I hope more games use this as, okay, this is how you do a flashback, because here's the thing. And I just saw this and it stuck in my head. There, you're pulling this thing along this bridge trying to get to Lady Hellbender's castle. And there, which, by the way, great name.
Yes.
Love that name. And so you're pulling this thing and somebody says you've got 60 quicks to go. And you're, oh, wow, this is going to be a long trip. And am I going to sit here and listen to them yak for that whole trip? And then it shifts into this flashback, and it was perfectly executed. Because you do that bit with the flashback, and then you come back and you're there. It's not like, it doesn't feel like you fast traveled. It doesn't feel like there was some cheap gameplay element. It feels like dude got lost in his head, which is what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous.
Yeah. It is well executed across the board. It's pretty great. So before we get into the news, let me mention one game. We'll get to the third game here in a little bit. One game I just have to say I played an hour of, and I play a bunch of time with it. But because it's here and it's here early, is the Halo multiplayer. is out. And let me just really quick, because I at first don't care about the multiplayer all that much, but it's on Game Pass, and so I'm not going to play it. So let me just say a couple of things about it. It is tight, it is polished, and it is fun to play. Like it's Halo. Wow. And it looks good. It's not the best looking game I've ever seen, but it looks good. And it plays good. Like it feels good. And it just has basically had no bugs, like very few, with what else we'll talk about in the show today. And with just recent history of games and crazy botched launches, the fact that Microsoft said, "Hey, we're going to put this out a little bit early on the 20th anniversary of the Xbox." And it's going to be solid and tight. And here you go. Here it is. Big kudos to Microsoft. That was well done.
Real quick, because I just thought of something since you brought up Game Pass. What I did all day last Saturday was I decided that it was time to let my EA Play subscription go, because that's now available on Game Pass. And I very stupidly moved my Mass Effect Andromeda folder into the Steam folder, because I said several months ago that I bought Mass Effect Andromeda on Steam, and I didn't see the point in reinstalling it, and it worked flawlessly, which I was shocked at, because it's the same game. But the mistake that I made was when you move that folder, it affects the mods. And I spent most of Saturday afternoon trying to get my mods to run again. Here's the exciting part, okay? I get all that set up. I'm all good. I think, okay, I'm ready to cancel my EA Play. I go to cancel it. I do all the things to get it set up on Game Pass, thinking that you're actually going to get to download the games off of Game Pass, and come to find out that you don't download the games off of Game Pass. You get the new Electronic Arts app, which is the upgrade to Origin or whatever.
Yep.
And I didn't have to do all of that work that I spent Saturday doing, because my game would have been there. Okay? And I'm not complaining. I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you, for those of you that are not taking advantage of EA Origin,
whatever it's called
they now. Call EA Play. Yeah. You need to take advantage of that, because it's simple, it's streamlined. It took me an entire afternoon to set it up because I was stupid and didn't download the app first. If you download the app first and do that, because they don't say it anywhere in the instructions, if you download the app and sign in, you don't have to change anything. You don't have to reload. It just takes the stuff that you've already got and says here.
Yep.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does require a second app. And that was that you need to know before you go into that.
And that it does not say that anywhere, because I started moving my game and doing all that because I didn't know.
Yep.
And,
now you know.
Now you know.
All that said, of course, Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Feels.com, your premium source, your source for premium CBD products, which we love, as you've heard a ton, and have not loved any less. If you are looking for help with sleeplessness, with pain, anxiety, all this stuff, Feels is just great. I walked into the kitchen last night. We keep our Feels just on the window sill above our sink. And the sexy psychic is doing book fair this week. So this is a big week for her. Right. And she had I walked in and it's like the dropper just maxed out and just like the whole thing. It just cracked me up. I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to order some of that much quicker than I was anticipating. But it's because it's such a good product. And that it knocked her out. She slept great last night, even with all the stress and anxiety and everything else she has going on. And so she's going to come in here one of these days and do a read for us, I bet, because she is a big, big fan of the product as well.
Man, the sleep, being able to sleep, I don't think that we have said appropriately what a big deal that is, because neither one of us sleep real well at all.
Yeah.
And we haven't for many, 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 many years. And the fact that we can take this stuff at night and my sleep is so much better, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I got pain. Yeah, I got all that stuff that we just talked about. But the big selling point for me is being able to sleep at night and get up the next morning and not feel like crap.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. That's the thing that we have struggled with for most of our adult life. We're very similar in that way, and feels just fixes it.
Yeah.
Like, it just works. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I love waking up not feeling miserable, and it does help with that at times. So if you want to start feeling better with Feels, you can do that by going to feels.com/GU podcast. That's FEALS.com/GU podcast, which will get you 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, and then sign up for their membership program. You get 30% off after that. It's a good deal for you. It's a good deal for us. It's a good deal for Feels. Everybody wins. You get more of us. Sans this past week, but still much more of us, which has been good. We've enjoyed that a ton, and it's a great product. So feels.com/GU podcast.
Yes, and like I said last time we did this, do us a favor and send them an email and say, hey, I'm a customer because of Gaming Uncensored, Jamie and Tommy. That would help us out a ton.
Yep.
All of the guys in customer service, Steph and Bella, all of those people over there, they all know who I am. And so if you send them an email and say, hey, I'm a customer because I'm Gaming Uncensored, that's going to help us out a ton. Please do that because we want them to re-up in January. I want that to happen. We love every sponsor we've ever had, and we'd really like to keep this one.
Yes.
So
100% agreed. They're good people. We like them. We like their product, and so all is good there. So
absolutely.
That said, let's hit a few news items. We'll start and move past this pretty quickly, I hope, but I have to mention it because it's such a big thing. With Bobby Kotick and Activision, again, we've talked about the harassment and assault accusations and charges and everything that's gone on with that. The one thing, the shoe that hadn't really dropped yet is now seeming to be dropping, which is how much did Bobby Kotick, who is famous in the gaming world as being this super highly compensated CEO. I don't know if anybody else is paid nearly what he is in the gaming
world. No!
For...
I can tell you right now, it's not even close!
Like, we'll get into this more in a little bit, but all that, obviously, he's the head of the company. How much did he know? He has kind of pled ignorance this whole time. A big Wall Street Journal story came out demonstrating how he was more aware of things than he let on, and even potentially has some issues that are his own of harassment claims and that kind of stuff. It just is at the point that, like, what more does this guy have to do for y'all to go find somebody else and pay them a lot less? Like, what is it that Bobby Kotick does that is better than any other exec option that you have in putting out Call of Duty every year? You know, like, I just, for the life of me, can't understand this, why Bobby Kotick was paid so much, but now post all of this, why you're keeping him around.
So you are, we've said multiple times on this show, you are a massive Aaron Sorkin fan.
Yeah.
You are a massive West Wing guy.
Sports Night's one of my favorite shows of all time. Yes.
You have watched all of that. You watched House of Cards, which I still haven't watched. I bring all of this up to tell you that the reason the man still has a job is because he's a good politician and he's probably got something on somebody. I really feel that way because you can't keep your job unless you know how to, and be this bad at it, unless you know how to navigate with the sharks.
Yes.
And so the dude has a job because he's a shark. That's what it is. We don't know what he's got. We don't know who he's got it on, but he got something on somebody.
Yeah.
And that's how he's managed to keep his job all these years. Because let's be clear that this is just the latest in a series of things that have been going on with him for years and years and years. And he makes more and more and more money. I remember when we first started talking about him, that we made a big deal that he was making like $30 million a year. Well, since that point, he's making, you know, 40, 50, 60 plus, and nobody bats an eye. Yeah. So again, I'm not saying that this guy's a great CEO. What I'm saying is he knows the game that he's playing, and he's playing it very, very, very well. And that's all there is to it. There's no reason for this guy to still have a job other than that.
Yeah. And I get it to an extent. Like, Activision's been super profitable. Like, whatever. Like, okay, you got this guy in charge. You're making money hand over fist. Like, give him compensation, whatever. Like, it always to me, like, I just, there's no way. Like, this is, I'm a capitalist. I think capitalism is better than other systems, though it has plenty of flaws. And this is one where executives just get paid these ridiculous fees because there's some kind of sense that there's a market value that they're worth that. But there's no way. Like, there's no way you could tell me that what you're paying Bobby Kotick, if you replaced him with somebody else who has a similar skill set that would work at a tenth of the price, is it going to also help Activision make all this money?
But let's be honest, we're saying that because neither one of us has ever been offered anywhere close to that amount of money. I know for a fact that you are a person who is a very skilled person in your field, and you get paid because of it. Now, if you go to another job, your pay scale will be directly based on what you did before. Right, you're not a slime ball like this guy.
Right.
But whatever you make in your next venture will be directly based on what you have done before. Whether the work is good or not, you're going to get a signing bonus or some kind of something because of what your resume is. And I thought about this a lot because I'm hugely jealous of your resume. I am a beer every time you tell me, like, I just walked into this thing and I got this other job and there's money, and I'm like, dude, I can do that. But it's that deal. Like, you're in that situation that if you go get another job, it's going to be because people looked at your resume and looked at what you did.
Sure.
And you're going to get to ride for a while based on that.
Yeah, and that's not unfair, and I don't bemoan Bobby Kotick for taking the money if somebody's going to offer you the money.
Right.
You know, like, whatever. Like, I get that. But there's a board that hires him on a regular basis, as boards generally do, I would assume, yes. In his case, that they have to agree to keep him on board. And he's just like this. Obviously, the board has already come out and said, we support him. We think there's, you know, things going in the right direction or whatever. It's this little club of dudes that gets to say that all they, you know, what they're also just seeing is that, hey, we're making a lot of money. This guy's in charge, whatever, whatever.
Right.
When there's, you know, thousands of employees that are like, hey, this culture is really, really awful. And we are struggling because of lack of leadership over these things that we are complaining about. The employees staged a walkout yesterday, just after this article came out. Several Blizzard employees walked out, you know, demanding that Bobby Kotick get removed as CEO of the company. And it's that at the top, the leadership that's getting to make those decisions are all just the people that benefit off of the bottom line. The people that are the subjects of the abuse don't have any control in that. And so it's right. this power differential that there's just not a good way to deal with outside of like either those people just quitting en masse or people boycotting the products. And there's a little bit of both of those things, but not enough to make a difference. And it just is, what's the solution in a system where like this stuff can happen, the guy in charge can know about it, but because shareholders, the board are making so much money, they go, "Hey, we don't really care." Again, not because he has any special skill set that I can identify, just that he's the guy there. Like, again, if somebody right. can come point to me what Bobby Kotick brings that another exec couldn't bring, I'll stand corrected. But I, for the life of me, and we've been following this for many, many years now, because we started talking about Bobby Kotick, early in this show.
2007.
Yeah, something wow. like that. Yeah. It's just wild. I just don't get, like, even for the shareholders that could say, "Hey, we hear you public outcry that's making our company look bad," because they're just going to continue to look bad in this. And eventually that's going to have a ding on their bottom line. If they're not correct in thinking they can just ride it out, which maybe they are, maybe we're nihilistic enough that that'll be true. But otherwise, like, they could actually look really good and say, "Hey, this guy, you know, he's done great things for the company. We've been behind him, but this is unacceptable. We're going to bring in new leadership. We think it'll be good for the company. The employees will be happy. It'll give them a PR bump." And what are they losing? Again, like, what is it going to damage them if Bobby Kotick's not the guy? I just don't understand that component of it. Like, why is it so hard to cut ties with this? Other than all the stuff that you said, it's a boys' club. Like, they're all buddies. Like, they have junk on each other. They, you know, can mess up each other's careers at that level or whatever it is. Like, that's it. And that's dumb. Like, that's a dumb reason for him to remain in leadership.
Can I bring up another point also? And we're going to jump into this in a second. But Activision Blizzard's software, the stuff that they put out, and we're gonna get flamed after I say this. but it has, none of it has really been that good for several years. Like, Grand Theft Auto 4 was good, Grand Theft Auto 5 was good.
Well, that's not Activision.
But
we'll get into that here in just a second.
Okay, but let me just say, you're right. That is not Activision. What I'm actually thinking about is Take Two. But we'll get to that in a minute. But Call of Duty has been Call of Duty, and I think people buy Call of Duty every year because it's Call of Duty. And yeah, they're good, but they're not. Activision Blizzard hasn't won Game of the Year for anything in a while. Like, I think that their products have been good and people buy them, but they're not like standout in the industry for the most part.
Yeah. Exceptions in there, of course, but it's primarily Call of Duty, obviously. And it's really Activision as a publisher. Like, Sekiro was published by Activision. That was Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Destiny is a huge game published by Activision. And then all the Call of Duty stuff, obviously, that's out there. Blizzard stuff, which is, you know, Overwatch was super popular. Yeah. World of Warcraft, still a thing. You know, like, they make money, like, even if they're not putting out the cream of the crop games per se, like, they've got their thing that they do, and good on them for making money.
Right.
I definitely don't want them to stop making money, because them making money means that they continue to put games out that are either good or increase the competition for other games to be good. And that's a good thing in the economy of video gaming. But yeah, it's kind of Ubisoft too, right? Like, Ubisoft is kind of the same thing. Ubisoft and Activision, like, they have their formula and they do these games that are always, eh, that's pretty good. If I get to them, I get to them.
They're 80s.
Like, yes. They're 80s. Just solid 80s across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not putting out 90 level games, and everybody's cool with that because you sell a buttload of those 80 games. And okay.
Chad, let me just be very clear, because I can hear Chad screaming at me. Yes, I realize they don't make Grand Theft Auto. That's why I corrected myself. I realized that. I got the old man brain there for a second.
But that leads us into Grand Theft Auto, because we do need to talk about Grand Theft Auto. So any other thoughts on Activision before we get into Grand Theft Auto?
Here's the thing. Here's what I want for Activision, Activision and Blizzard, because you know we've been upset with Blizzard for a while.
Yeah,
Blizzard is not Blizzard anymore.
Yeah, and since they got acquired by Activision, it's just not been the same.
That's one thing I will say is if they bring in a new person, I would love to see some of those Blizzard type properties be really focused on, because I miss Blizzard being Blizzard. There's not another Blizzard out there. Like, there's not another company really that does what Blizzard did. And I would, if somebody new comes in, I would like to see those properties, those IPs focused on, because they're some of the best IPs ever made.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I would agree with that in a lot of ways, and I think it would be for the kind of core gaming community a way that they could kind of reestablish their brand. So many of the issues we've talked about have come from the Blizzard part of Activision Blizzard, and so they have a lot of house cleaning. I mean, they've been in the process of house cleaning. We talked about their exec changes too, as a under the umbrella of Activision. So. Story's not going away. Hopefully next week we get to say Bobby Kotick's not in his job anymore, and things are moving in the right direction for Activision. Moving to a different publisher, Take-Two, but then a Rockstar as a developer that had been so beloved, much like Blizzard. Like, that's just they go through these cycles. Rockstar's just not having a good run of it lately. And the latest of that is the Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition trilogy, which is out. You can go pick it up. You can play San Andreas on Game Pass, and so that's available to you. And we spent just a little bit of time playing San Andreas on Game Pass. The kind of big picture thing here, and then we'll get into some of the other messed up details of where they just botched the launch, which Rockstar is just good at botching launches. Like, they just are bad at putting out games. But several things botched in this launch as well. But the biggest thing is that just people don't really like it. And kind of understandably, we went through this kind of cycle. At first, we were like, no, that's not really worth our time. And then we saw the trailer with kind of what the updated visuals looked like. And it was like, oh, that's actually kind of a cool look. Now it's kind of worth our time. You spend a little bit of time with it and you go, okay, but it's probably not worth my time. And that's the beauty of Game Pass, is we didn't lose anything on figuring that out. But it just is getting dinged in the reviews and everything else, because it's not incredibly well executed. It's really buggy. And this is my take on it. They just don't hold up great. Especially like going from playing Guardians of the Galaxy to going to Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, voice acting and dialogue, even with great voice actors, was just brutal. It just shows this age really bad, which is a bummer. And of course, the fun of those games is just like exploring the world and doing stupid stuff. And then, like, if you get to the game, the story, great. But if not, kind of no harm, no foul. But it just, like Grand Theft Auto 5, it's a great world. Go get lost in that world. I don't need to get lost in these worlds anymore.
So here's the thing. If you're going to do a remake or remaster or reskin, at this point, you really got to put some effort into it.
Yes.
And that's what, I'm not going to speak for everything because we haven't played the other three. I'm curious about Vice City.
Yeah.
Vice City is something that I want to see. But at least San Andreas, like, it's San Andreas. Like, I watched you play 20 minutes of it, and if there are updated visuals here, I don't really see them. Like, I feel like I looked at my watch to check the date because I'm like, is this 2000? Like, I know they updated this, but where is it really? And part of it may have been the way that you were streaming with OBS.
Yeah. But it's really not. It just really looks like
the camera. The camera sucked. The cameras are awful. The word that comes to mind after watching 20 minutes of it, and I did, I watched 20 minutes of it. And if you'd have been sitting with me, the word that came to mind was, I thought, this is sloppy.
Yes.
It's sloppy. It's a cash grab.
Yes.
Right? Like, if they would have put, and this is a bad example, but I'm going to make it because I can't think of, well, no, I do have a better one. If they had put Resident Evil style remaster, and I'm talking about Resident Evil 2, maybe not so much Resident Evil 3. Resident Evil 2 remaster, from everything I hear, is great. If you put that level of remaster into San Andreas, I feel like we're all over it. They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't. And it's just sloppy.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious. I think cash grab is the right word there. That, like, they were like, hey, we could capitalize on the fact that Grand Theft Auto 5 at this point sold 150 million copies. That, like, hey, this is nostalgia. People love nostalgia, right? Let's kind of repackage it and reskin it some. Update the gameplay. Now, that is significant. The gameplay is better than what it was, you know, 20 years ago. But it should be. Like, that shouldn't be something that we're talking about. And even though it's better, it's not great. Package that, release it. It is super buggy. So I mentioned, you know, there's a couple of things. One of the things is that there's a lot of music licensing issues. We talked about music licensing a little while ago. Lots of music that was used in those first games that they don't have rights to anymore. It's still in there. It's still in the source code. It's still in the files, even if they're not enabled. Like, you could just go in there in the code and enable those songs, and they'll play in the game, apparently, which is great. Also, this is just shocking. And either, like, do this intentionally or fix this. The hot coffee sex mini game that, by goodness, we spent way too many episodes of this show 15 years ago talking about. Code's still in there. They didn't take that out after.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what's funny about that, because I read that in the show notes before the before we started here, and my first thought. Well, and this is awful because you're right. We spent hours, and we used to do 2.5 hour shows, and we spent at least 6 of them talking about this mod. And this is how we know we're getting older, because my initial thought was, when I saw that, my initial reaction was, why is this a story? Because it's 2021, and I remember what that mod was, and we thought it was wild back in the day, but it's nothing now. Yeah. Like, it's nothing. Like, why are we even? Why is this a scandal?
Yeah, go play Cyberpunk for 20 minutes. You'll be fine. Yeah. Like, it's just.
I'm watching, and I've been trying to find a place to bring this up, but I've been watching The Sopranos, and I'm really enjoying The Sopranos. That show is great, but the thing that is most shocking to me in 2021 about The Sopranos is the language. Like, I see those scenes in the strip club. Where is all those women? If we had watched that in 1999, we would have been, oh, wow, this, we don't see this on TV. Yeah. Now it's just like, now the only thing that catches me is, I'm like, okay, how many times is Tony going to use the F word in this episode? Like, seriously, that's the only thing that catches my old man ears at this point. Yeah. There's nothing that they can show me sex and drug-wise on The Sopranos in 2021 that's going to make me go, wow. And I kind of feel the same way about Grand Theft Auto. It's like, why is this, the fact that this is still in there, a story? Because of course it's still in there, because I just spent 10 minutes telling you that this thing's floppy.
Yes.
They didn't take it out. It's still in there. Yes.
What they did, at least on the PC version, is they pulled it down for a couple of days so they could remove that stuff and put it back up. And so if you were hoping to play it on the PC, you just had a couple of days where it wasn't available. Even if you had already bought the game, like, it wouldn't run for a couple of days until they re-put it on the Rockstar Games launcher, which the fact that Rockstar has their own game launcher in and of itself is stupid. Awful. They have made some great games. Red Dead Redemption 2 may be the best game of the past, you know, decade. It just, man, they're sloppy about a lot of things. So, like, they're the ability to make a game, they've proven that they can do. The ability to do just about every other basic part of putting out video games, they have really struggled with. And they're just at a point now where it seems like they lack direction. They don't know what they're doing. And I hope they get it together, because I love Rockstar. I want to see them put out good games. But they are in the wilderness right now, and they need to figure out how to come out of it. So,
nice biblical reference there. Thank you. Oh, that's good.
one last thing we'll talk about before I die is Game Award nominees. Just really briefly here, I'll mention the Game of the Year. I'm glad I got you going now. Game of the Year nominees are Deathloop, It Takes Two, which we desperately need to play. Apparently it's phenomenal. Newest Haze-like game. Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, also need to play, Ratchet & Clank, and Resident Evil Village. Just an interesting slate of Game of the Year nominees, because none of those would win last year or about any other year. But it's also really compelling. I think there's some good games in there. You know, it's just, it's been a weird year in gaming. And so we've already said what our two are, the two that we've spent a lot of time with in that list. But Metroid Dread or Ratchet & Clank, either one, I think, would be perfectly deserving.
Yes, absolutely. And if we're being real honest, Ratchet & Clank is probably better than Metroid, just as an overall package.
Yeah.
But not by much. I mean, like, I'm okay with either one of those. The rest of those games is like, yeah, okay, you could do that, but these are the two winners.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel too. Guardians of the Galaxy, now it just came out, so I was really curious about it, how much it would even be considered. It is in here because it is nominated for Best Narrative, but is it nominated for Game of the Year?
See, if it doesn't get that, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, really. The other nominees there are Life is Strange, It Takes Two, Deathloop, and Psychonauts, and so...
You know, I was going to bring up that I forgot. Part of the thing that I love about the flashbacks is they are very Life is Strange.
Yes,
like it's got that same kind of feel to it.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that's a perfect category for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And. It should be. I would vote for it, but I think there's other good options in there too. Just of note, and I want to bring this up just really briefly because I mentioned Cyberpunk a little while ago. This is the year for Cyberpunk to be nominated for things. It has two Game Award nominations: one for Best Score in Music, which it is good, not wrong there. The other is for Best RPG, which it's fine. It's not the best RPG I've ever played by any means, because it's not that much of an RPG-ish, kind of Mass Effect RPG, to be fair. I'm trying to remember what they have scrolling through really quick. There it is, to see what the other nominees there are. Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, SMT5, and Tales of Arise. Tales of Arise, apparently very good for a JRPG itch that I haven't scratched in a long time. Tales of Arise apparently does that well. But just talking about, you know, companies, Blizzard, Rockstar, that have maybe passed their peak. CD Projekt Red, hopefully not as well in that conversation, but did deliver a dud with Cyberpunk, I think, for all intents and purposes. That really showing here, imagine, you know, all the hype up to Cyberpunk, and then to tell us the year that it would be nominated for the Game Awards, that would have two nominations, one for Best RPG and one for Score. But no Game of the Year, no narrative, no none of that kind of stuff. I think it's pretty surprising.
I wonder when somebody is eventually going to try and take what Cyberpunk did and do it in another game, and we're talking about whatever that other game is next year for Game of the Year, because you're right, Cyberpunk was a dud, and we've all been sitting around going, okay, when are they going to start focusing on The Witcher 4, which I feel like that's still years down the road, yeah. Which is fine because I put down The Witcher and I need to pick that back up again. But I feel like that's years down the road. And I can't really understand why, because The Witcher is what they have at this point. Like, they can't seriously be looking at Cyberpunk DLC or another Cyberpunk game, considering that this one didn't really work.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't.
Yeah.
And so you got to wonder, when are they going to start looking at The Witcher 4?
Yeah, for sure. And sooner than later, I would imagine at this point that we'll start getting some teas, because they got to keep their shareholders happy. They got to keep that money coming in too. And so they did that really well by hyping Cyberpunk and then did it deliver. And so, but we know they can do a Witcher game, right? We know. I just keep telling myself, so we'll see. Releases, just really quickly here. Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition, 58 on the PS5, and that's its high score. 53 on the Xbox Series X, 40 on the Switch, which is pretty brutal.
Wow.
But we'll mention that one big release this week was Forza 5, has a 92 on Metacritic, so Forza doing well.
Hey, little girl. I love it.
Who are you?
Genevieve.
Oh, it was Genevieve. Who knew?
It's Genevieve with a mask.
Superhero. Yeah, she came in a superhero mask.
Yeah. I love it.
How exciting.
Because it's almost Thanksgiving.
Are you going to be a superhero for Thanksgiving? All right.
I love it. It's fantastic.
But we don't even do
that. What's your superhero name?
Superhero Genevieve.
Superhero Genevieve. All right.
I like it.
We can do that.
Do you have superpowers?
What are your superpowers?
I don't have any.
Oh, you don't have any?
I have a different one.
Can you do what Spider-Man does?
No.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have a picture.
Oh, you're not Spider-Man. That makes good sense.
I have a picture of you being Spider-Man. I have that on my phone of you being Spider-Man.
Are you Spider-Man sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I have a saw.
She figured out how to do the web shooter thing.
Oh, pretty
recently.
Yeah.
I got a shooter.
Is this camera up here?
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, I like star. It. I like it. It's very cute. You're but getting this, very big, little
and
girl.
And another one right here.
I love it.
Are you getting big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting very big.
Super big.
She's getting super big.
And is a superhero again.
See?
She's more famous than both of us on Facebook.
Oh yeah. Boom. Yeah. Not even close.
It's ridiculous.
You wanna close the show for us?
No.
Do you remember what we say at the end of this podcast?
What?
What? Just follow me. You ready?
You ready? Listen to Jamie.
No.
Say, you ready?
No, do it in my ear.
And
we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.